And now, it's BC Food and Wine Radio. Here's Anthony Gismondi.
Hello, British Columbia. I'm Anthony Gismondi. Welcome to today's show. Well, it's the first week of December, and we're now well into the holiday season, and the stretch drive to Christmas. I hope that doesn't stress you out. Embrace it, folks. It's coming, and make it fun. Plenty of fun things to do at this magical time of the year, and the team came up with a few options I'd love to share with you today for our listeners on Vancouver Island. This is cool. Holiday movie nights return to the Oak Bay Beach Hotel. Now, this is where guests can enjoy dinner in Faro Pizza, followed by a favorite holiday film in the David Foster Foundation Theater. It's a very cool theater inside of the hotel. There's multiple dining reservation times available to book for each screening. Now, what can you watch? Elf, that's pretty famous. The Christmas Story, A White Christmas, Home Alone. Miracle on 34th Street, that is a great oldie. National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, It's a Wonderful Life. And here's one for you, Dwayne, Die Hard. You know what the big question is there? Is that really a Christmas movie or not?
Well, it definitely is.
Yeah.
His wife's name is Holly.
Oh, I never thought of that.
Exactly.
Way to go. Okay, Die Hard is technically a Christmas movie. Okay, all those are happening at the Oak Bay Beach Hotel. Now, what about Kelowna, you ask? It's the annual Downtown Kelowna Winter Street Market and Light Up. That takes place this week. It all gets going on December 2nd from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. There's free family entertainment activities, including photos with Santa. I'm not sure. Do you have a photo with Santa, Dwayne? Have you ever?
I took a couple as a kid, yeah.
Yeah?
Yep.
I don't think I can find one myself with Santa. I'm going to have a word with my mother about that. Dozens of local artisans and market vendors will be set up for you to find unique gifts for anyone on your list. And if you stick around until 5:30 p.m., they will light up the tree. That's the big event in Kelowna. And here at the home base in Vancouver, a must-family event is the Van Dusen Festival of Lights. If you've never been through there over the holidays, it's a wonderful experience, and those lights stay on through January 7th. Imagine now 15 acres. Now, all of you know how big that is because we talk about it all the time when we talk about wine. They're adorned with over 1 million twinkling lights. It's a glowing display inspired by vibrant colors, unique plants, animals from BC's endangered Garry Oak Meadows. Okay, we are on the show today going to talk to some really remarkable people. Bruce Tyrrell. He's the chairman of the board of Tyrrell's Old Winery. Bruce is about as Australian as they come, and really he's kind of the chairman of the Hunter Valley, if you ask me, and a real expert on Semillon and on Shiraz. So we're going to talk to him from the winery. Robert Stemmelchuk, he's in the studio today. He's the wine director at Mott 32. He's going to give us some of his holiday ideas for drinking at home, wines to have at home. And also, he's got three or four really cool cocktails that he's going to help us out with today. So you can catch up on your home cocktails with Robert. Robert is really one of the bright lights in the Somme community here, and of course, the wine director at Mott 32 in downtown Vancouver. Sebastian Hutt, he's the new vigneron. Lightning Rock Winery is where he is at now. And he's got a whole plan ahead of him for Chardonnay and Pinot Noir, and of course they're outstanding sparkling wines. He's going to share some of that with us and what he thinks of Summerland, his new home and his new terroir where he will be making wine. Finally, in the studio, Steve Rutherford. He's the executive chef at and Mitchell Kerr is the director of restaurant and bars at the Weston Bayshore in downtown Vancouver. That will be our home away from home at the Vancouver International Wine Festival. All of that coming up next on the BC Food and Wine Radio Network. I'm Anthony Gismondi, and you are set to go.
There's more to come. This is BC Food and Wine Radio with Anthony Gismondi.
Plan your winter vacation around these great events or give the gift of a great Penticton experience this holiday season. Watch A Nice Family Christmas, a Many Hats Theater production, playing until December 3rd. Get your tickets for the Fire and Ice Dinner event at Ink Meep Cellars December 1st. Light up the vines with Summerland's Bottleneck Drive December 1st and 2nd, and catch Cirque du Soleil's Corteo at the SOEC January 4th to 7th. Go to visitpenticton.com for information on these and more upcoming events.
Attention wine connoisseurs. Iron Gate Auctions are bringing you the chance to indulge in some of the most exquisite back vintage wines from Canada's most exclusive private collections. Each bottle sold individually so you can pick and choose to your heart's content. With an average of 3,000 available per auction, there is something for everyone at all price points. And the best part? Inexpensive temperature-controlled delivery available right to your door. Visit irongateauctions.com to start bidding now.
At Noble Vines, they believe the best brings out the best. That's why they take only the most admired vines to develop their wines, including the 242 Sauvignon Blanc, which originated in Bordeaux, France. These superior vine stocks adapted well to their premier vineyards in Monterey, California, producing a medium-bodied wine with bright acidity, zesty aromas of ripe lemon, and flavors of golden peach with lime. Available exclusively through BCL Select at your local BC liquor store. Find out more at noblevines.com.
Most people have a casual connection with wine, as in they like to drink it. We think it's essential to read the label and whenever possible to connect with the people who make the wine. They energize you, and unlike many businesses, they'll answer most all of your questions about where the wine comes from and how it's made. Then the next time you pour a glass of wine, you'll realize it's more than just something you like to drink. I'm Anthony Gismondi, and wherever you are in your wine journey, we'll meet you at GismondiOnWine.com.
It's BC Food and Wine Radio. Now, here's Anthony Gismondi.
Hello, British Columbia, across the province on the BC Food and Wine Radio Network. Our guests are Steve Rutherford, he's the executive chef, and Mitchell Kerr, he's the director of restaurants and bars at the Weston Bay Shore, our new home away from home during this year's Vancouver International Wine Festival. I can't wait to make the short walk along the seawall back and forth. It's going to be great. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, you guys got a great property. It was a fantastic spot to start with. I mean, right beside Stanley Park, right on the seawall, right in the city, tied into the West End. You're living large.
It's a beautiful location. You know, I mean, it's probably prime location in Vancouver for a hotel, and it's just wonderful to be a part of a great operation there.
Yeah. I always think it's a tough job to be a hotel chef because I don't actually know who you're cooking for. Like, I don't know. Do you think about that at all, or do you cook for yourself? Or it's kind of a crazy question, but
well, the thing about it is you get lots of great opportunities to meet the guests, meet the clients when you're doing conferences.
Yeah,
really kind of putting that that personal connection with the person that you're working with.
And, yeah.
It's fantastic working in the restaurants too, because you get that more personal interaction with our guests that are joining us.
Yeah, and I think people have high expectations now when they come to Vancouver, food and wine expectations, or food and drinks.
Absolutely, food is it's right up there. You have to be top notch.
Yeah. So, quickly, let's just talk about some of the outlets then that people can access when they're in the hotel. I don't know. Mitchell, do you want to take that? Or?
Yeah, for sure. We have H Tasting Lounge, which is kind of our premium cocktail bar.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic wine list there as well. Seafood focused. I can let Chef talk
like
about that.
Yeah. Well, let's just talk about the bar for a minute, because things are changing a lot. It was all wine in the 90s and the noughts, and now it seems like people are really investigating cocktails, beers, non-alcoholic drinks, like the whole gamut.
Oh, absolutely. We've seen such a shift to cocktails, especially in Vancouver with the cocktail scene we have here. You know, you need to be competitive and you need to be inventive and creative. And so we're constantly changing up that list. And, you know, even with spirit-free and non-alcoholic, we've seen such a shift to that that's become a big focus of our program as well.
Yeah. Well, Chef, what about you? You like, first of all, you have to have breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So that changes things a bit. How do you handle all that?
It's about having a good team. Like, you know, I mean, I'm pretty fortunate. We have a large group of leaders and a fantastic team to execute everything. And it's just about working together and collaborating and making sure that we have a good offering.
Mm-hmm. And what is your sort of vision of the food that you're serving? If you were to describe what people can get at the Westin, how would you describe that?
The biggest thing for myself and the team is sustainability.
Yeah.
Really just focusing on what we have local purveyors. Obviously being in Vancouver, we're focusing on some of our Vancouver suppliers and purveyors that make things for us and the custom. But the other thing too is the seafood. The seafood's a really big focus on the West Coast,
mm-hmm.
Making sure that we're partnering with good fishermen and groups like that that are going to make sure that the product that they are providing is going to be there for centuries to come.
Yeah. And seasonal, I would imagine, are changing all the time.
100%, right? You know, whatever's available from the supplier, and we can kind of adjust our menus. You mean, a lot of times, like our salmon, for example, you don't get salmon 365 days a year.
Although everybody thinks they come from America, where they get it all the time from some pond or I don't know where, but...
Exactly, right? And that's the thing, is we're really trying to just focus on the product that is available in the moment.
Yeah. You brought some honey. Tell us about this project, because I think these are really cool projects.
Well, the apiary has kind of been something that has been there for about 6 or 7 years. We work closely with a company, Honeybee Center in Surrey, and their head guy there, Andrew, does a fantastic job, and he comes every Friday, and he checks on the bees, and I get involved with it.
Yeah.
We have interactions with our guests, so they can come and see it, and they actually will have an opportunity to actually taste the honey straight off of the combs. So it's a really cool thing. And then we take that honey and we get about 150 kilos, maybe 200 kilos,
wow.
depending on the year. And then we use it on the buffets and in all our restaurants and banquets. So
where do you suppose these bees go while they're working?
Well, I've been told that they go up about 5 to 6 kilometers away from the Bayshore, so they can kind of end up going to like Stanley Park.
They go over to my house in West Van.
There you go. There you go. Yeah, they can go pretty far when they're running out to get what they need. So,
yeah. Our guests are Steve Rutherford, he's the executive chef, and Mitchell Kerr, he's the director of restaurants and bars at the Westin Bayshore. Mitchell, you got a few things coming up. One which caught my eye is a dinner with Taylor Fladgate Port Wines. That's a brave thing to have and a fantastic supplier to have it with.
Yeah, we're very excited for it. We haven't done a port dinner before, and we figured it was a chance to try something different, and, you know, ties into December when it's cold and rainy and, you know, you want comfort food, and what better to enjoy that with than port?
Yeah, and Taylor, I guess people don't know, but there's so many different kinds of port. Everybody think, well, port is port, but there's enough to go around. So you'll have white port, you'll have rosé, you'll have vintage, and, maybe, I don't know, LBV.
LBV, but we're going to start with a cocktail because, you know, port can be utilized for that, and then lead into the white port. We've got a little bit of Fonseca in there as well. So we've got some of the 2018 vintage, and then we're going to finish with the Taylor Fladgate 50 year.
Mm.
Our chef Martha has created a really decadent pairing to go with that.
Yeah,
that is
a beautiful, mellow dessert wine. Mm-hmm. So that would be a great pairing. Yeah, that sounds great. Let's talk about dining outdoors, because you've got some Christmas events. Well, maybe we'll start with those, Winter Lust and the afternoon tea.
So we currently have our Christmas afternoon tea happening through till December 25th, happening on that day as well.
What does that mean, afternoon? Is that...
So starting at 11:30 through till 3 o'clock,
okay.
We have a festive afternoon tea. Chef Martha's created these incredible pastries. We have a harpist or a violinist playing at the same time.
Wow.
And then just inspired
by Christmas.
In the
kitchen or outside at the tea?
In the lounge.
Yeah, I like that. And tea, I know nothing really about tea, but people are very serious about the tea they drink. So can they get different kinds of tea?
Yeah, we've partnered with O5 Tea, which is just located on West 4th there. Pedro is the owner. Crazy passionate guy. If you ever want to talk tea, go see Pedro.
Okay.
And we've really dialed in what we're offering, and there's a couple different flavor profiles they can choose from. They can change their tea during the experience.
All good to me. Okay, and outside, what can we do outside? It sounds fun to me. I haven't done that.
We've got our Winterlust domes. We'll have to have you down. So 5 domes out there. We have different dining out there. Chefs put together this flaming tomahawk. So we've got, you know, a big tomahawk hanging off. We're pouring rum down the side of it as it flames up.
Yeah.
We've created a chocolate dome that we smash open for guests. So a lot of engagement and activations through the food there.
Well, people have seen bubbles, but these are wooden domes. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And are they warm inside?
Yeah, we have two heaters. We have an infrared heater and a bench heater. And then we've got blankets if you want to get cuddly.
Yeah, that's my favorite. How many people can get inside the dome?
It fits six comfortably.
Okay. And so how do we get one of those? We need a reservation, obviously, all that sort of thing.
Yeah, so through exploretalk.com, H Tasting Lounge.
Mm-hmm. So. Is it a one-price deal for the dinner, or how does that work?
We just ask for a minimum spend, so that varies depending on the evening or the lunch, and then you can order off the menu as normal.
Wow. That sounds great.
Yeah, it's a fun time.
Yeah. What's for breakfast?
Breakfast is all about just filling up and having being ready for the day.
Yeah.
There's lots of options. If somebody wants their bennies, you can get your bennies. If somebody wants their healthy, oatmeal or the smoothie bowl, they can do that. So, I mean, it's a really great offering, and it's there for anybody.
Yeah, and at nighttime, the dining's quite elevated now. I think people might be surprised at the level of what they can get.
Absolutely. And, one thing to talk about is in H2, we have our smokehouse, which is not a typical theme for a hotel. Really kind of just focusing on the briskets and the ribs the pulled pork. HTL, a little bit more elevated. Seafood is kind of the main driving force behind that. Yeah. And once again, just really partnering with local suppliers and doing a wonderful feast for everybody.
So a little southern dining.
Absolutely.
At the Bayshore.
Absolutely. Yeah. H2, it's Wednesday to Sunday. It's a great offering. So.
Oh, wow. I like that. And I don't want to let you go. We don't talk about this wine list. I was just knocked out by your wine list, really. And some of the wine lists around town have been stripped out since the pandemic. Yours seems to have really grown dramatically and very interestingly.
Yeah, we were really lucky during the pandemic that we were very busy and people wanted to spend some money. So we invested into our wine list. We hired a new guy named Jonathan Hunwick.
Yeah.
He's helped curate the list and, find those little hidden gems and bring them on board.
Yeah.
A lot of
biodynamic wines and organic wines. There's a fantastic list of wines from Italy, too. White wines in particular, which are great food wines. Nice for your food, chef.
Absolutely. I mean, that's working our restaurant chef, Ivan. He works very closely with Jonathan to make sure that, things are pairing really well and just partnering to make sure that the guests have a great experience.
Yeah. Well, if you're listening around the province, you should think about staying at the Westin because it's such an easy walk to, anywhere in the city. The food is great. You're a couple of minutes from Stanley Park. You can jump into the West End, and you can stare at the North Shore Mountains. It's just such a great setting, and I think it's truly undervalued by locals. Most of the rest of the world knows about it. Locals need to know more about it.
Absolutely.
Well, thanks for joining us today. Real pleasure. I can't wait to get down there, spend a week there, and really check everything out.
Absolutely. Come on down.
I'm excited to have you.
Yeah. Thanks for joining us today on the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Great pleasure. That was Steve Rutherford. He's the executive chef, and Mitchell Kerr is the director of restaurants and bars at the Westin Bayshore. Still to come, Sebastian Hoth. He's the vigneron at Lightning Rock Winery in Summerland.
There's lots more still ahead. This is the BC Food and Wine Radio Network.
Your favorite wines delivered right to your door. It's easy when you become a Liber Estates Rebel. Rebel Wine Club members enjoy regular shipments of Liber wines for your cellar, along with complimentary tastings, VIP treatment at the winery, and more. And with easy and convenient online ordering, your wine will be at your door before you know it. Discover more at liberestates.com. Simply great wine.
Celebrate the holidays in style at the Watermark Beach Resort in Osoyoos. Grab your group of friends on December 15th for a holiday party featuring local entertainment and a festive gourmet buffet. Or host your own private event for your team. And when the celebrations are over, just take the elevator home back to your room with their special holiday party rates. You can find out more by emailing sales@watermarkbeachresort.com or call 250-495-5511.
Visit Penticton for all of your holiday shopping, mountain adventures, and Okanagan wine. Four Shadows Vineyard hosts a Christmas night market Fridays and Saturdays throughout December. Shop the Last Chance Holiday Market at the Penticton Trade and Convention Center December 9th and 10th. Done shopping? Experience one of over 80 nearby wineries with an intimate winter wine tasting. Or to pick up a holiday gift pack or basket of wine. Before you go to Penticton, make sure to check the website at visitpenticton.com.
At Noble Vines, they believe the best brings out the best. That's why they take only the most admired vines to develop their wines, including the 242 Sauvignon Blanc, which originated in Bordeaux, France. These superior vine stocks adapted well to their premier vineyards in Monterey, California, producing a medium-bodied wine with bright acidity, zesty aromas of ripe lemon, and flavors of golden peach with lime. Available exclusively through BCL Select at your local BC liquor store. Find out more at noblevines.com.
People always ask us, how do you taste? What we don't do is taste one wine in isolation. We choose a grape or a style of wine, then we taste a number of samples from around the world, so we're constantly benchmarking the quality of, say, BC Chardonnay versus Burgundy, the Sonoma Coast, Argentina, or New Zealand. That way we get a better picture of where that wine sits globally, and our readers often benefit from getting more wine for less money. I'm Anthony Gismondi. Why not compare wines with us at GismondiOnWine.com.
It's BC Food and Wine Radio. Now, here's Anthony Gismondi.
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock. Jingle bells swing and jingle bells ring.
Hello, British Columbia. Snow trust you're getting in the holiday spirit from notions of sleigh rides and winter wonderland to recalling a discussion we had in the vineyard earlier this year on a warm, sunny afternoon in Summerland. Our guest is Sebastian Hutt. He's the vigneron at Lightning Rock Winery. Sebastian, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you.
Great to catch up with you. You've got last time we saw you were at a different winery. You got a new job. How are you enjoying Lightning Rock?
So far, it's been pretty good. I've also been enjoying being back in the Okanagan Valley and Summerland mostly.
Yeah.
Just a little bit, like we were saying earlier on, just a little bit warmer.
I was thinking, yeah, you're up in the Thompson, a little cooler. Now you're here where it's a little warmer, but you're making sparkling wine, which is pretty exciting.
It is. It's something that I personally enjoy partaking in, the winemaking and the drinking, I would say.
Yeah.
And there are some similarities from my previous experience into now moving forward with sort of grape that have like sort of higher acidity, cooler climate.
Yeah, for sure.
It's where I feel comfortable.
Yeah. Well, how hard is it coming in, or like what happens? You can't change anything instantly. Maybe you won't change anything. Maybe you'll tweak it. What do you do? Do you take the time to assess all that? Or
I did definitely spend lots of time with my predecessors and just seeing what their ideologies were, how things were done. And basically, we are transitioning into my way of doing things, which ends up being the same way. So a big focus for us is on farming organically and putting all of our efforts in the vineyard. And we believe that by doing so, the wines will showcase themselves.
A lot of people farming organically, I always ask, what does that mean for the consumer? Like, why should they care about you farming organically?
Just knowing how things are done, knowing that we actually put special attention into our whole vineyard itself and the whole environment.
Yeah.
I actually live on one of the vineyards, so for me, it is quite important. I have a young one-year-old child as well, so
exactly.
I want to be in an environment where I feel comfortable, and I want a consumer to know that we're thinking the same way.
Great reply. Sebastian Hutt, he's a vigneron at Lightning Rock Winery. So, Sebastian, I don't want to lose any time on these two wines. You brought two sparkling wines. We're going to taste through them. These are real sparkling wines. They've been fermented fermented in the bottle.
Yeah, so they're traditional method or champagne method, all depending of who you ask. What I brought for you today is two Blanc de Noir, so 100% Pinot Noir, and both of them are made the same way, but they're from different vineyard sites. We have three vineyard sites within Summerland, and this is the Alicia Vineyard and the Canyon View Vineyard. Alicia is east-facing, a bit more rocky, definitely some granite influence, as the Canyon View property, which is only 2 kilometers away, is more south-facing, warmer site, and the soils are completely different. The soil base is called Suyu, so it's definitely like a sandy soil.
Yeah.
When we do make the wines, like I was saying, we make them the same way. So primary fermentation is in neutral oak, mainly puncheons, for 4 months, and then they undergo secondary fermentation. It will be under tirage for 12 months. Zero dosage at disgorging, And yeah, just bottled as is.
Wow. That is delicious. you know, people laugh as, oh, that guy says, wow, that's delicious. But knowing the history of sparkling wine in BC, to have a wine like that already, after only, say, 20 years of really serious work, that's a great achievement. Now, you didn't make this wine, but you disgorged it, I guess, and cleaned it up.
Yeah. Jordan and Tyler did all of the farming and the winemaking for this. And when I arrived, I was disgorged and followed in their traditions of just staying with the Brut Naturel style.
Yep.
Which is zero dosage.
Yeah.
So no sugar added after disgorging. So the wines are definitely dry, but it is something that we want as well. And due to the fact that all of the winemaking is low intervention and natural in the winery, we felt it was the best way to showcase the wines.
Love it. It's obvious, but Blanc de Noir, white from red grapes, the Pinot Noir grape, the dosage, when you disgorge a wine, you're removing the sediment from the bottle, and you have an option, many people have an option of adding a bit of sugar or whatever to the wine, but zero means nothing, right?
Yes, nothing.
So you're getting just the pure wine.
If there's anything left, it was what was left during secondary fermentation, but these wines ate through all of the sugar during that fermentation to create sort of a nice effervescence.
So it's really good for your waistline.
Extremely good for your waistline.
Yeah, okay. So if we taste these two wines, how would you describe the differences? You describe the soils. How does it come out in the wine?
For me personally, I find the Canyon View is more sort of like the aperitif wine or like an oyster wine, right? It's a bit more bright and linear. And then compared to Delicia, which has actually more structure, there's a little bit more, I would say, intellect going into the wine, more body, a lot more happening.
Mm.
So they are almost like night and day, one to start the evening and one to end the evening.
A little more electricity, I think, in the Delicia.
Yeah.
Yeah. They are quite different, but they seem like brother and sister, but they are different.
They definitely are. And I feel the best way to actually notice these differences is doing what we're doing now and enjoying them side by side and spending that moment to just think about them.
Yeah. I know you're spending a lot of time in the vineyard and the winery, but at the winery itself, what's for people who are in Summerland, can they visit the winery? What sort of things are available when you get to Lightning Rock?
So at the moment, we are open 7 days a week. We're open for the season, 11 to 4. We offer a 5-wine flight. For some guests that would want, I offer personal tours of our vineyards as well.
Oh, nice.
And by doing so, we will drink the wine in the vineyard.
Yeah.
So people get a sense of where these wines are coming from.
Yeah. I think that's important to taste wine in a vineyard that it's grown in. It's a completely different experience than any other. Obviously, not at the dinner table, not in a bar, but actually in the vineyard. It really attaches you to the place.
Exactly. And also it's really important as a vigneron to do the same thing and fully understand and immerse yourself in the property.
Yeah. Now you have a number of events coming up. You probably don't know about it, but I'm going to help you out on that. July 15th, the Brodo Kitchen, a 5-course meal at the winery. So you might be there talking to folks.
I'll be there talking about the wines and how we're coming up with the pairings with the chef as well.
Yeah. And you probably know that July 28th to October 27th at the winery, once a month, songs and snacks featuring live music and a food truck, so you can eat on those days while you're working, which would be good during the harvest.
It will be good during the harvest, and not just myself, but the whole team as well.
Yeah.
Those are the days that will be happy to come into work.
Yeah. And Cocktails and Canopies on August 5th, that's a sparkling wine and library wines, which is always fun. Have you had a chance to look at some of the older wines at Lightning Rock since
you
arrived?
I have. It was sort of one of the first things I did when I arrived, just to see how the progressions of the wine has been.
Yeah.
And some of them are just fabulous. The 18 Pinots, we have only a small amount left. I think only the Canyon View left, if I'm not mistaken. Just really drinking nicely at the moment, and the tannins are starting to soften. Just a little bit, lots of complexity showing through with those tertiary aromas.
Well, we should mention, we were talking a lot about sparkling wine, but there are other wines made at Lightning Rock. So the Pinot Noirs are they've been exceptional from the start.
Yes.
And?
Chardonnay, Viognier,
yeah.
A tiny, tiny amount of Syrah.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've been lucky enough to get some.
Yes, I have. Did they build this winery for you or what?
Like, it
seems
like
a job to walk into.
For me, it's pretty much all of the varietals I would like to work with.
Yeah.
If we talk about Syrah, sort of, I feel like treating Syrah the same way as what you would Pinot Noir, just be gentle and delicate.
Yeah.
And the Viognier is part of our sparkling program and the still program.
Yeah.
That's just a small 1 acre component as well. So,
Sebastian, we're almost out of time. Just a quick question: how did you manage over the winter with your vineyards?
I'm confident to say that we manage fairly good.
Uh-huh.
There's, as everything in life, sometimes we tend to be a little bit too pessimistic without knowing the results.
Yeah.
But nature is way more resilient than we would give her.
For sure.
And
smarter than us.
Exactly. There's obviously some damage. Let's not like hide ourselves from that, but it's not as bad as expected.
That's fantastic news. Well, Sebastian, I'm really excited you're at Lightning Rock, and I can't wait to come up and visit you and taste on-site and maybe taste in the vineyard. What a great idea to taste sparkling wine right in the vines where it's grown.
The best idea.
That was Sebastian Hott, vineyard on Lightning Rock Winery. Still ahead, Robert Stemelchuk, wine director Mott 32 in Vancouver, joins us to talk about some of his holiday drinks ideas for you at home.
There's lots more still ahead. This is the BC Food and Wine Radio Network.
Join Anthony Gismondi and BC Food and Wine Radio at the 45th Vancouver International Wine Festival, February 24th to March 3rd, 2024. Discover Italy at the International Festival Tastings, featuring 149 wineries from 12 countries. Tickets are on sale now. Plus, get a free tasting ticket worth up to $135 when you book a downtown hotel via StayVancouverHotels.com. Don't wine and drive. The festival runs February 24th to March 3rd at the Vancouver Convention Center and other venues. Full details at vanwinefest.ca.
Visit Penticton this holiday season for mountain adventures and Okanagan wine. Experience one of over 80 nearby wineries with an intimate winter wine tasting. Discover local ice wines or pick up a holiday gift pack, basket, or even a case of wine. If you can't make it in, shop online and have the wine shipped right to your house. Before you go to Penticton, check out the website for information on wine tours, tasting room hours, winter highway conditions, and for more trip inspiration, go to visitpenticton.com.
It's time to think turkey. Your BC turkey farmers work hard all year to bring high-quality products to your table. Whether it's a weeknight dinner or special occasion, turkey is always a delicious source of lean protein, and you can't forget the leftovers. With a great meat-to-bone ratio, you get a great value and multiple meals. So the next time you're wondering what to serve, think turkey. Find recipes, info, and more at bc.canadianturkey.ca.
Escape to Tinhorn Creek Vineyards on the captivating Golden Mile Bench in the heart of Oliver's Wine Country. Their wine shop awaits you Thursdays through Sundays from 11:30 to 4:30. Embrace the season with their Blanc de Blanc Sparkling, adding a lively note to your winter wanderings. Explore the wonders of the South Okanagan, where nature's beauty meets the art of winemaking. Plan your visit at tinhorn.com. Ready to welcome you.
This is BC Food and Wine Radio. Now, here's Anthony Gismondi.
Hello, BC. We are back with a special shout out to Vancouver and all 25 cities in total across the province on our BC Food and Wine Radio Network. Our guest is Robert Stelmachuk. He's the wine director, chief of everything at Mott 32. Every time I meet you, I have a new title. What are you in charge of now, Robert?
No, I'm the wine director. We have enough chiefs over there. We have a great crew, good team that we work with. But basically all things libations is falling onto my lap, which is really good.
Yeah, but not just for this restaurant, for many of the Mott 32s. You have a say now in wines that are going in and out of them.
There's a bigger global collaboration that's going on for sure. We have a new group sommelier that's doing a lot of great things, but crafting a constant message across the board so that, you know, you can get some clarity across all the wine lists.
Yeah. Vancouver's a great wine market. I was thinking, you know, I was at a Brunello tasting yesterday. Michaela was doing it. She's writing at Decanter. Mark Davidson's just released a book on Australian wine.
Yeah, looking forward to seeing that.
Yeah, there's a lot of talent in this town, wine talent.
Yeah, I mean, I look at it, there's a lot of talent, but for me, there's also a lot of inspiration in this town.
Yeah.
There's a lot of incredibly talented sommeliers who I look to really make me be better at what I do every day.
I got news for you. They're looking to you now, so you better, man up. Okay, well, what I wanted to do today was share some of your ideas for the holidays. People hear mine all the time, but I thought I'd ask you about, let's start with the sparkling wine category, but so what you might serve at home or...
Well, I mean, it's a good question, and bubbles, and be that champagne or sparkling itself, are always going to be ready to have on hand when you're going to an office party, a dinner party, someone's home or something. And, you know, affordability has to be part of it, especially in our market that we have here with our government. But the Bottega Rose Gold is something that I always make sure I have on hand. It's a great package. Yeah. It's a delicious product. It's super refreshing. Say nothing of how fun Sandro is. I'm sure you spent some time with him.
Yeah. Well, you say it just like I would say it, great package, but it really means something. The package is super cool.
Yep.
And it's fun when you see it and people are opening it. You go, wow, that is a great-looking bottle.
You know, he has his own glass-making, bottle-making plant at the winery, which is pretty incredible. So, and I mean, you want to bring something that's attractive as a package if you're showing up with something in your hand, right?
Yeah.
And it's user-friendly across the table. Bubbles are always a good answer to everything.
Sure. And if you're bringing champagne, what about that?
Well, if I'm bringing actual champagne, I have to kind of take a little step over to Marquis Wine Cellars, do one of the private shops.
Davey,
they bring in the Arpouillon champagnes. There's a series of them, but the Grand Val I really, really adore. It's rich, textural, a little bit less expensive than some of the more well-known name brands you're going to find in the BCLDB. Yeah. And I think the quality is going to be even more amplified in these wines.
You can take that wine to the dinner table, too, because of the richness and the power in it.
It's, absolutely. It can stand up to meat dishes. It can stand up to a whole variety of whatever you have in the vehicle on the table.
Yeah. As the French would say, it's a gastronomique.
It does require food, so.
Yeah. And if you're sending somebody into the BCLDB store for something, what would that be in the sparkle category?
You know, something that I found that was readily available in a lot of the stores was the Michel Lorio. Mm. And that's a Blanc de Noir. So it's all made from red grapes. It has a little bit more of a different disposition to it. It's clean, it's crisp, it's refreshing, but it's also got well-rounded edges to it as well.
Nice picks. Our guest is Robert Stomachuk. He's the wine director at Mott 32. I can say it freely. It's the best Chinese restaurant in North America, right here in Vancouver. It's just a fantastic place to... everything's so fresh. There's no way to describe this place other than to go there and eat.
And part of the experience of being there is that that's it in and of itself. The environment of Mott, the decor, the environment, the style of service, having a wine program, cocktail program. But when it comes to things in the kitchen, I think one of the things that you appreciate a lot, there's no MSG in our kitchen. It's all organic produce, sustainable ocean-wide seafood. And with our dim sum being made fresh every morning by hand, never frozen, it really is a game changer for us.
Yeah, the dim sum is fantastic.
Yeah.
We'll get back to that. So now that trusty sort of red and white that you can pull out over the holidays, give us a couple of picks for that.
You know, I love versatility, and I love to support the local markets as much as we can. And we have some fantastic things happening in the Okanagan. And I always, when I'm entertaining or going to someone's house, will revert back to something like Joie's Noble One.
Yeah.
It's a great blend. It's aromatic. I have never served it to somebody that hasn't been like, this is such an awesome wine.
Yeah. Fantastic pick. By the way, it's in 100 stores, so easy to find, $27.
Yep. And I think they've got a new wine club, too. So
Yeah. Lots of things happening at Chihuahua. What about a red? Now we're going offshore.
For red, I like going off the beaten path. Probably the country that has some of the most best value for what you're getting these days is Portugal.
Yeah.
And the Luís Pato Atlântico, it's a blend of Baga with a bit of Trigo Nacional for some backbone in there.
Yeah.
Again, smooth, polished, plummy, earthy, kind of a leather
food
coffee.
Friendly style.
Exactly. It's one of those, it does what a lot of the Italian wines do. It makes you salivate, makes you really crave what you're doing for food.
Yeah. I want to go to Mont 32 right now. I'm pushing hard here. That's in 34 stores. It's only $21, folks. So those are two great picks. Now I have to talk about cocktails because you've made everybody drink them now and they're eating into the wine business, but people love their cocktails. What is it about the cocktail scene why is it so popular now?
You know, I've been trying to think of what it was that really kind of brought cocktails back into it, but the handcrafted cocktails have taken off like I've never seen in my career in the last 30 years. It's been pretty crazy. Classics, Boulevardiers, your Negronis, and all that kind of thing, like, you know, whiskey sours. But the creativity in this town, you know, we have a lot of fun, too, with what we're doing with cocktails at Mott 32. But if I'm entertaining at home, I kind of go back to a couple classics that are a little bit off the beaten path.
Yeah.
The Naked and Famous, I love. I'm a big mezcal guy. So a little mezcal, Aperol, yellow chartreuse, and lime. It's balanced. It's refreshing. Makes you salivate. So it's great before having a bite to eat, I think.
I think you and I are better famous than naked.
I will definitely concede that, yes.
We could enjoy that drink. Okay, what about the Old Pal?
Another old, like, Prohibition cocktail with rye, and there's some great local
rye.
Yeah, with a lot of local distilleries here in Canada that are producing a lot of them. Dillon's rye I use, with a bit of dry vermouth and Campari. Just keep it really simple.
Wow, what, you put that on the rocks, or how does it?
I usually use king cubes. I have these even at home.
What?
A king cube, which is like one massive large cube.
Oh, okay.
Just dilutes at a slower pace. Doesn't dilute your drink, and you can keep it cold at the same time.
Is there a king cube holder that we get or something?
I bought one at, I think it was Winners. I bought my like silicone molds.
There you go, folks.
There we go.
Even Winners is on the show today.
Well, you can also pick them up at Modern Bartender down in Chinatown.
Yeah. Robert Stelmachuk, he's the wine director at Mott 32. We've been talking about you know, preparing drinks. Like, people sometimes don't, like, are people mixing them at home too, or is it mostly a bar thing? Or?
Well, you know, I was talking to the guys at Modern Bartender the other day, and they were surprised at how many non-industry people are coming in there to buy a really nice cocktail mixer, great glasses, all the bitters that they've got there, and all the things that are going into it. I think it's kind of like a little craft hobby, basically, for people at home.
Yeah. We have one more. I don't know what to say. Queen Nicole?
Yeah, the Queen Nicole. It's one of the sparkling wine cocktails that we were making and using St. Remy's new signature. It's a great blended brandy.
Yep.
It's easy at home to make a little jasmine simple syrup, just to do a 2-to-1 simple syrup and infuse a bit of jasmine tea in there. Top it with a bit of sparkling wine. Garnish it with a rose petal if you want. But it's refreshing, it's bright, and it's the kind of cocktail that when people take a sip of it, they're like, what is this? This is fantastic. And they can easily make it at home, too.
And put it in a champagne flute to really dress it up.
Why not? Absolutely.
Wow, I'd love that. Mott 32. So for the holidays, when are you open? What do people have? Do they need reserves for everything? What would you suggest?
Well, good question. But we prefer reservations in the sense that we love knowing that you're coming so we can plan ahead and plan accordingly.
Okay.
We're open every day and every night. And the hours change a little bit later on the weekend, but lunch is 7 days a week from 11:30 till 2:30, and dinner is 5 o'clock every night till either 9:30 or 10:30.
Till whenever.
But we don't close either. Like, we're open every day. So the 24th and 25th of December are filling up incredibly quickly for us.
Wow.
We're on standard menu. We do have 5 private rooms if people are, you know, have a little privacy that they need or want.
Yeah.
They come with, you know, minimum spends.
And you got a great wine list, Robert.
Well, that's very kind.
So people don't take your wine there. You don't need to.
Well, people still do that, but our corkage is up there now.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Well, when you have to have 61 Lafitte, sometimes you have to take it.
That's the best place.
As long as you can bring it to me anytime. As long as you get a taste, right?
I'm very fortunate. A lot of people that do bring their own wine do offer tastes and whatnot, and that's important too.
Can't thank you enough for coming in today. And you've got the Year of the Dragon coming up. It's going to be a big Asian New Year, I suspect.
Yeah, the Lunar New Year is in February this year, and it's going to be a really busy one for us again. It's about a 15-day stretch where it's just insane for us. We will have a special menu for Lunar New Year this year as well.
Okay. Robert Stemelchek, did you hear that buzzer? Your time is up.
I heard it.
Mott 32, by the way, Mott 32 is in Vancouver, and it's on Georgia Street. What's the number on Georgia?
1161 Georgia Street.
1161 in the now defunct Trump Tower beside it.
Oh, you had to bring that name
up. Oh, well.
It's in the Paradox Hotel.
Try to get people to show up again, like the nut bars. Yeah. Thanks so much, Robert.
Absolutely.
Have a great holiday.
Same to you. Thanks for having me on.
Well, that was Robert Stemelchuk, wine director, Mott 32. Up next, Bruce Tyrrell, chairman of the board, Tyrrell's Old Winery, joins us on the BC Food and Wine Radio Network.
There's lots more still ahead. This is the BC Food and Wine Radio Network.
What happens when you combine the finest wine grapes with a uniquely rocky terroir? Clos du Soleil invites you to discover the answer. Located in the heart of the Similkameen Valley, Clos du Soleil have dedicated themselves to crafting wines that are a true reflection of this wild and beautiful place. Elegant, ageable, and authentic. Clos du Soleil, where the spirit of the Similkameen speaks through every bottle. Available at closdusoleil.ca and fine restaurants and wine stores near you.
At Noble Vines, they believe the best brings out the best. That's why they take only the most admired vines to develop their wines, including the 242 Sauvignon Blanc, which originated in Bordeaux, France. These superior vine stocks adapted well to their premier vineyards in Monterey, California, producing a medium-bodied wine with bright acidity, zesty aromas of ripe lemon, and flavors of golden peach with lime. Available exclusively through BCL Select at your local BC liquor store. Find out more at noblevines.com.
Hello, I'm Anthony Gismondi, and this is Destination Langley, BC. Our guest is Erin Krebba. She's the Executive Director at Tourism Langley. Erin, I've heard that local Langley wineries have something fun going on at the moment.
That's right, Anthony. 8 Langley and 5 Abbotsford wineries have gotten together and created the Fraser Valley Wine Passport.
Okay, can you tell us a bit about how it's going to work?
If you visit any of the 13 participating wineries, you can purchase a passport for $20. Once you have the passport, you can visit the wineries until the end of November and receive a complimentary tasting at each one.
That sounds like an excellent opportunity to explore Fraser Valley wines at a giveaway price.
Yes, my friends and I have purchased our passports. It's fun to visit a winery or two each weekend, and I'm also working on adding to my holiday wine collection while I'm at it.
Now, I understand there's also a give back component as well as the opportunity to win a grand prize.
That's right. Proceeds from the passport go to the Pacific Riding for Developing Abilities. And for each stamp you collect in your passport, you get an entry for the grand prize, which is a wine fridge filled with 26 bottles of wine, which is 2 from each participating winery.
Erin, that's great. Are there any other stops you might suggest for people using the passport?
Well, there have been some great holiday markets already announced. If you want to get a start on that holiday shopping, many wineries are located close to business. This is on the Langley Circle Farm Tour route. Grabbing a brochure while you're at one of the wineries will give you some great ideas on other stops you could make.
And we'll find all the details for all of the events on your website.
That's right.
Erin, as always, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Anthony. Talk to you next time.
For more information, go to tourism-langley.ca. For Destination Langley, BC, I'm Anthony Gismondi.
It's BC Food and Wine Radio. Now, here's Anthony Gismondi.
Do you come from a land down under? Where women go and men wonder?
Hello, British Columbia. Joining us now is Bruce Tyrrell. He's chairman of the board at Tyrrell's Old Winery. We caught up with Bruce earlier this year from his Hunter Valley, New South Wales winery. Bruce and his father are legends in the Australian wine industry, and they're passing the torch to the next generation with Bruce's son now in full control of the day-to-day operations at the winery. If you didn't know, Tyrrell's Winery is world famous for its Semillon and Shiraz label. We talked to Bruce about the amazing transformation of Semillon, or as they say, Semillon, as it ages in the bottle, and why Australian Shiraz is just so much fun to drink. Bruce, how are you?
Good, thank you, Matt. Very well. Very well.
We really appreciate you getting up early. It's about 6:30 in the morning there, and it's of course that's nothing to someone who grows grapes, I guess.
Yeah, if you get to vintage time, the day's well and truly underway by 6:30.
Yeah, well, why don't you tell our listeners a bit about Tyrrell's? I mean, the winery now is it's over 160 years old. Are you the fourth generation or?
Yeah, I'm the fourth. I've just the day-to-day management have just handed it over to the fifth.
Wow.
So I'm the chairman now, and my son Chris looks after all the day-to-day operations. Eh?
Wow. How do you last 160 years, Bruce? What's the secret?
I don't know. You've got to be pretty determined. I think that's the secret to it. And look, be lucky enough as we were to get, you know, really good country.
Yeah.
My great-grandfather, you know, really knew nothing about growing anything much. His father was an eye surgeon in London.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not sure I'd want eye surgery in about 1700, but it would have been much fun. And he just landed here. You know, got 320-acre lot of land, and other people were growing grapes. I suppose he started, and we were just lucky that the we'd been 5 miles east of where we are, and we wouldn't be having this conversation today.
Yeah,
because he'd have been on lousy country that didn't do anything.
Yeah, well,
so I think that's probably been the secret of it.
Sure, just some geography for people. Whereabouts is Tyrrells? Let's say in relation to Sydney, where I guess a lot of people know where that is.
Yeah, we're about 100 miles. You still miles or you kilometers now?
We're kilometers.
You're kilometers, 165 kilometers north of Sydney, north of Sydney.
Yeah.
So we're about 20 k's in from the coast at Newcastle.
Yeah. Well, I want to talk about a couple of wines that I think have been a big part of your history, Shiraz and Semillon. Let's start with Semillon, or as you like to say sometimes, Semillon.
I say Semillon. If you'd had your nose broken as many times as I had, say Semillon.
All right, Bruce, let's talk Semillon, Hunter Valley Semillon. What can you tell us about it? What have you learned over all these years about Semillon? And why is it so great?
I don't know. Look, it's somewhere in the world, every grape variety grows really well. And this is the home of Semillon. I don't know what it is. It just is what it is. The lighter sandy soils, the flats here seem to suit it. The climate suits it. It's an early ripener.
Yeah.
Which is good for us because it keeps us away from the wet at the end of vintage, which we normally get.
Yeah.
But it just, gets flavor ripe at about 10.5-11 alcohol.
Yeah, that's great.
So that's probably what makes it unique. And it's still then, of course, got wonderful acid and low pHs. And so it's got the ability to live as well.
Yeah.
So that's probably the trick. The thing, if you put them away, they'll live for 20, 30 years.
Yeah. Bruce Tyrrells, the chairman of Tyrrells Winery. Bruce, you just nailed it there, because I know that drinking, we can drink very young Semillon with our seafood here, our shellfish, yeah. but something happens in, is it like the third or fourth or fifth year when it just flips over to a completely different wine?
Yeah, about 5 years, 4 to 5 years, it goes through this change, and the acid softens a bit. Mm-hmm. Flavor fills up, and it just changes.
Yeah,
getting these older characters, then it'll do it again in about 10 years old, and then they can hang around for as long as you like after that in the really good years. My ideal drinking time sort of 9 or 10 years old, but you can drink them young. When a young seafood. Yeah, it's a great drink with seafood because a lot of seafood doesn't have that much flavour.
Yeah.
And if you've got a big, heavy Chardonnay with it, that kills
it. Yeah, it
kills the seafood.
It's kind of, when it's young, it's so, like almost like a squeeze of lemon on the seafood from my point of view.
Yeah,
Let's talk a little bit, or a lot, actually. Let's talk about Shiraz. I mean, it's been so famous. Australia's had its up and down time sort of globally. What's the state of Shiraz in your mind today coming out of Australia?
I think we're walking away from really massive Shiraz.
Yeah.
Went through that period where a lot of South Australian, Barossa's, McLaren Vales, well, you can get them very ripe. And because you could, I think people started to, and then they got attention. But then, they didn't live as long, and they weren't as nice to drink. I can't drink 15 alcohol red anymore.
No.
I probably never could. And I think you... I always say that when the grapes are ripening, you hit a stage where you go from sweet fruit to dry extract.
Yeah.
And they lose that lovely sweetness and lively-ness on the palate. You know, we used to drink those wines at 13, 13 and a half, which is where we make Acherat.
Right.
In this area. So, yeah, I think a lot of that got a bit big and people sort of backed off a bit. Pinot Noir in Australia is having a real run at the moment.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is great.
Yeah, even even some Italian varieties.
Yeah, we get it all. You name them. See, when the sort of... Well, grapevines came into Australia from everywhere. But in 1830, you imagine a government with this foresight today. You know, the government sent James Busby back to Europe to get the great grapevine collection. He came back with 660 different varieties and clones of varieties from all over Europe, which is fantastic. Now, our oldest block here, which is on this place, is planted in 1879, supposedly comes from the Hill of Hermitage. Now, there's one historian that is certain that it comes off La Chapelle. Now, I don't know.
All right. I like that.
It's a good story.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we are all these, and we never had phylloxera. So, you know, we're lucky that we've got some of the oldest vines in the world.
Yeah.
I think I've got the oldest Chardonnay on the planet.
I think you do. In fact, I still have a magnum of 76 Tyrrell Chardonnay. How do you think it'll be? I should open it, I guess.
It's
probably ready.
It's probably mature now.
Oh, well, we'll have some fun with it.
Hopefully the cork's okay.
Yeah.
And I'd be drinking that fairly soon.
Okay, just quickly, Bruce, before we run out of time. So the Tyrrell's Old Winery Shiraz, which is currently on sale for only $16.99 in BC, what can you tell people? What can they expect when they pop the cork on that or the screw cap?
It'll be... Yeah, take the screw cap off. No corks. We do not have a cork on the property anymore.
Right.
It'll be medium body. Should be fairly, plenty of fruit, plenty of flavour. Soft, but nice acid, so it'll finish nice and clean. It'll be a bit, you know, you'll open the bottle and you'll turn around and it's empty.
That's always the
really
best.
Really easy to drink.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're the best.
Well, Bruce, it's really been fun catching up. I hope maybe we can see you in Vancouver again a couple more times. As your workload drops a bit, you can do a bit more storytelling.
Yeah, a bit more traveling. And, that's what Pauline and I are looking to do. And, you know, Vancouver has always been our favorite city anywhere. We always say we have to live in the city anywhere in the world would be Vancouver.
Okay, we're still here. You can move here. I wouldn't mind. I wouldn't mind going to New South Wales for a while. Maybe we'll just swap. As long as I don't have to get up at 6:30 in the morning.
No, it's force of habit.
Yeah.
Force of habit.
Thank you so much, Bruce.
Okay, great.
Yeah, we'll catch up with you soon. Okay. Ciao. That was Bruce Tyrrell, Chairman of the Board, Tyrrell's Old Winery, and that's it for today's show. Special thanks to our technical producer in Vancouver, Dwayne Bishop, assignment editor, Sherry Caleb. For all of us at the show, I'm Anthony Gismondi, wishing you a great week ahead and an even better glass of wine.
That's it for today's show. This is BC Food and Wine Radio with Anthony Gismondi.